This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
It's 1985, and you've taken a trip to the place that, for you, is the epicenter of society, the mall. The mall of the 80s was the place where you went to see and be seen. And it didn't hurt to dress to impress, as everywhere you look, there's a different style of fashion, as people are able to express themselves more than ever. Every direction you look, there are bright, bold colors. Leg warmers, denim, crimped hair, and white Adidas shoes. Walking by you is a couple wearing power suits. There are so many distinct styles around, and as much as they all seem to differ, one thing is unmistakable. The fashion of the 80s cannot be ignored. I'm Jamie Logie, and this is Everything 80s, a podcast that looks back on a decade that forever changed the way we dressed, consumed, and connected. And today, it's a focus on the dress and a look back on the items, styles, and individuals that defined an entire decade. This is the fashion of the 1980s. As we left the 1970s behind and entered a new decade, that also meant eventually leaving the fashion of the 1970s behind, too. That meant a goodbye to earth tone colors, bell bottoms, bell sleeves, high waisted jeans, feathered hair, platform shoes, and a lot of corduroy. It always takes a new decade a few years to find its identity. And when it came to our clothing, some of that 70s influence hung on in the early 80s. For myself, because of my many hand-me-downs from my older cousins, my apparel in the early 80s still featured butterfly collars and brown corduroy pants. I basically look like an 8-year-old version of Mr. Brady from the Brady Bunch, but without the mustache. But the style of the 70s soon faded away into an era that was brighter, bolder, and more extreme. Let's take a trip through the decade to explore some of the styles and people that created the look of the 80s. We start with a specific style or item that was a constant throughout the decade. I know it was for me anyway. It's a unique style that's as much a physical process as it is a look, with roots going back to the early 70s. The story starts with Adriano Goldschmied, who brought a new washing technique to Italy, stone washing. According to the Denim Hunters website, Adriano, while in Japan, saw jeans washed with white stones, and the results were pretty amazing. The first attempts of this in Italy resulted in a ruined washer drum and jeans with holes in them. Instead of regular stones, they tried out using pumice stones. These worked much better, and a new era of faded, softer, and worn-in-looking jeans began. But this was a physical action that took a while to complete. But soon, everything changed. The story goes that this happened by accident by the Rifle Jeans Company when some jeans were tumbled with pumice stones that had been covered by a weak solution of bleach. According to Denim Hunters, a worker forgot to open the water valve, which allowed the bleach solution to create a distinct appearance, an appearance that would take off like wildfire, acid wash. This was already a decade where denim seemed to be growing like never before. One of the big companies involved with denim in the 80s was Guess. In 1981, they introduced stonewashing, And according to Marie Claire, in 1882, introduced acid wash denim, even coining the term acid wash. By using a chemical to distress the material, in this case denim, a retro-faded look was created, a look that became a huge fashion style of the 1980s. Besides Guess, Levi's, Calvin Klein, Jordache, LA Gear, and even Wrangler offered acid wash jeans. Acid wash, along with distressed jeans with rips and tears, were soon worn by rockers, glam rockers, and big pop stars. Acid wash soon became big business. According to the LA Times, by the end of the decade, some 400 million pairs of jeans were going to be sold in a single year. And of that 400 million, 35% were acid washed, 30% were stonewashed, and 5% were bleached. From jeans to jackets, skirts to jumpsuits, acid wash was everywhere in the 1980s, including on my homemade acid wash jean shorts. Now we have to look at an individual who would often be seen in acid wash. The individual that may best represent the fashion of the 80s and had an enormous influence on pop culture throughout the decade. The singer born in Michigan who went on to define the 80s, Madonna. Madonna burst onto the scene in 1983 with her self-titled album, and that featured singles like Holiday and Lucky Star. It was the Lucky Star video that helped to spread Madonna's unique and creative fashion. In that video, she wears a mesh crop top, a black skirt over leggings, a black ribbon in her hair, and fingerless lace gloves. Little did she know that with her first music video, she helped create a style that would not only be replicated through the 80s, but would become the perfect Halloween costume decades in the future. In 1984, Madonna shook things up at a brand new awards show, the MTV Video Music Awards. In one of the defining performances of the 80s, Madonna performed the song Like a Virgin, while wearing a white corset top, a white tulle skirt, elbow-length fingerless gloves, a variety of chains and necklaces, and completed the look with a boy toy belt buckle. Madonna's fashion was so unique, and she kept people guessing about what she was going to wear next. Example, you may see her wearing purple leggings under a mismatched skirt, black high-heeled boots, a brightly patterned jacket, and more fingerless gloves. Her style couldn't be defined, and it was constantly changing. Madonna is known for constantly reinventing herself, and that was happening in the 80s. There was the Marilyn Monroe-inspired Material Girl look, the Papa Don't Preach look, which saw her with shorter hair, jeans, and a leather jacket, but then also wearing a black corset and pants. There was her look from the Like a Prayer music video, and later into the 80s, Madonna's Express Yourself video. That one saw her in an elegant dress and also a black suit, complete with a monocle. Also in 1983, when Madonna released her debut album, another singer came on the scene who also embraced unique fashion. She came right from New York City. Her real name was Cynthia, but she went by Cindy. In one of the defining music videos of the decade, 1984's Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Cyndi Lauper wears a vintage salmon pink dress, a brown velvet collar, black hat, those trademark fingerless gloves, and multiple belts. Her quirky, vintage thrift store style also included things like lace, bright colored leggings, more of those gloves, bright colored hair, and a ton of accessories like chunky bracelets, gold earrings, and layered necklaces. Other times, She may wear a blazer over a buttoned-up top and cat-eyed sunglasses. Like Madonna, Cyndi Lauper constantly changed her look. Her style also couldn't be defined, and that was the whole point. On her first appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson from March 1984, Lauper wears a white dress with a fish pattern all over it, a ton of necklaces, both arms full of bracelets, long earrings, bright eyeshadow that continues around the side of her face, and bright red hair with one side of her head shaved. Johnny points out her unusual style and how her appearance differs from the average person, with Lauper snapping back quickly saying to Johnny, "I think you dress unusual." Both Cyndi Lauper and Madonna were extremely creative artists and not kept in a box or restricted to a certain look. Their fashion was an expression of themselves and their unique talent and creativity. Their style and influence on fashion would only continue to grow with the spread of a new channel, and we'll get back to that in a minute. The 1980s is a contrast in different fashion styles, and nowhere was that more evident than on Wall Street. The bright, bold, and eclectic style of Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, and mainstream pop stars was countered by the power fashion look of the 80s, an era-defining aesthetic in its own right. The power style was embraced by the young urban professional, better known as the yuppie. Pinstripe suits, power suits, blazers, shoulder pads, big hair, and Rolex watches were a way to flaunt your wealth. For men and women, power dressing was a way to show you were in command. The power fashion look of the 80s may be best represented by one of the most ruthless and calculating movie characters of the decade, Gordon Gekko. Played by Michael Douglas in the 1987 movie Wall Street, Gordon Gekko is all about power, ambition, and an insatiable hunger for money and success. He lives by the motto that greed is good, and his entire persona is reflected in the way he dresses, a style soon copied by many on Wall Street. One of the definitive Gordon Gekko looks is represented by a blue shirt with a white collar, suspenders, a patterned tie with a big tie clip, and slick-backed hair. Gekko also wears expensive pinstripe suits, and his power look presents his success, wealth, and ambition to the world. The movie displayed how your fashion evolves as you become more successful. In the film, the character of Bud Fox, played by Charlie Sheen, starts out wearing a shirt and tie with red suspenders. As his success grows, he transitions into similar suits worn by Gordon Gekko. The Gordon Gekko look became one of those definitive Wall Street looks, whether you were heading to the financial district from Park Avenue or you lived in a smaller city. Business Insider calls the Gordon Gekko look as embodying the corrupting authority of a 1980s power outfit, immaculate and comfortable, yet loud and in your face. So that's the business world, but what was happening with the fashion of the world of leisure and recreation in the 1980s? As we entered the 80s, a new era was underway. Across the country, fancy new aerobic studios seemed to be popping up everywhere. Aerobics classes and jazzercise took the nation by storm, and many gyms went from dark, iron-filled spaces into bright and shiny health and fitness clubs. And along with this new era of fitness came a new look to define it. Spandex, leggings, leg warmers, and white high-top Reeboks became the defining look of the fitness craze. One movie and one performer also had a major influence on the fashion of the 80s, especially as it pertains to fitness and activewear. In 1983, a movie starring Jennifer Beals hit theaters. It's the story of a dancer trying to become part of a prestigious dance company, Flashdance. In this movie, Beals plays the role of Alex, and one notable thing about Alex is her special style of dress, which included leg warmers. And then there was another distinctive look. One day, Jennifer Beals accidentally shrunk one of her favorite sweatshirts. To get it over her head, she cut the neck bigger. But it was quite a bit bigger, and the torn sweatshirt ended up hanging off her shoulder. And in that moment, a new fashion craze was born. The movie was a huge hit, and a lot of people saw it. It also helped that the look was copied by Madonna. The fitness, dance, activewear aesthetic spread fast. Now, the outfits that would normally be reserved for in the gym or the studio were being worn out in public. People who didn't even work out embraced this new fashion, as it was all about looking the part. And speaking of fitness fashion, like Madonna and Cyndi Lauper, another artist in their music video may have had a major impact on the fashion that drove the 1980s fitness craze. It was a song from 1981, reportedly first offered to Rod Stewart and Tina Turner, but eventually sung by an Australian singer who had a few years prior starred with John Travolta in Grease. Physical by Olivia Newton-John was one of the biggest singles of 1981, and the video was in high rotation on the fledgling MTV network. The aerobics-based video features Olivia Newton-John in a white leotard, purple spandex leggings, a bright blue top, and signature white headband. The music video not only helped in the fitness aerobics craze of the 80s, but the outfits used in the video further solidified what 80s fitness fashion would look like. It became as common to see someone in spandex leggings and leg warmers at the mall as it was in an aerobics class. The colors were bright and bold, and activewear had quickly gone from gym bags to street style. And speaking of distinctive style and colors, a new TV show is about to debut. A show that helped create one of the biggest fashion influences of the entire decade.
Everything 80s will return after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Since we've been speaking of neon and bright, bold colors, in 1984, a unique new primetime drama hit the airwaves. It was about two detectives working undercover in the glamorous underworld of Miami. Starring Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas, Miami Vice not only changed the way TV looked and was made, but also had a profound effect on 1980s style and fashion. The distinctive look of Miami Vice, a t-shirt under an Armani jacket, pastel colors, sleeves pulled up, and sockless loafers quickly spread everywhere. We often look back and smirk at this style, but Miami Vice was a driving force in 1980s fashion, as on a Friday night, one in five homes was tuned in to watch. And the specific look and fashion of Miami Vice was all by design. A typical episode of the show featured the characters of Crockett and Tubbs in at least 5 to 8 different outfits. The concept of the show was to be on top of all the fashion trends in Europe, and costume designer Bambi Breakstone would head to Paris, London, and Milan at the start of every season to choose outfits, which often included Hugo Boss and Versace. The show created such a specific aesthetic that a list of approved colors eventually emerged. Those colors always had to be approved shades of pink, blue, green, fuchsia, and peach, colors that had a profound impact on the fashion you soon saw everywhere. One year for Halloween, I dressed as Don Johnson from Miami Vice, which I thought I had perfectly recreated until one house asked if I was supposed to be a dentist. But the look made popular by Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas is another definitive look during a decade of defining looks. The style of Miami Vice was part of that new wave movement that was a distinctive part of the first half of the decade. New wave music specifically was a lighter and more melodic style of pop, but consisted of various musical styles, as did the fashion. Artists like Blondie, the B-52s, Devo, Duran Duran, A Flock of Seagulls, and Talking Heads were a part of the new wave movement, and they all had their distinctive fashions. Again, the style was a mismatch of patterns and fabrics. Like Madonna and Cyndi Lauper, new wave artists were wearing fishnets, lace, mismatched tops, and a variety of colors. You may see Mike Score, lead singer of A Flock of Seagulls, with a unique haircut, but also wearing a sleeveless top with bright green and purple designs on it. Duran Duran may wear jackets or blazers with striped shirts underneath. New wave and a lot of the 1980s style was like a mashup of do-it-yourself fashion. Nothing seemed too extreme or out there, and the more it clashed, the better. So where exactly did this big, bold, and bright color aesthetic of the 80s come from? The big influence on all this may have come from a specific group, an art collective that began in Italy in 1980 called the Memphis Group. Started by Ettore Sottsass, the Memphis style or Memphis design made famous by the group was made up of mismatched shapes, squiggly lines, black and white checkerboard, and bright clashing colors. It was Art Deco mixed with pop art. Just envision the intro to Saved by the Bell, the set of Pee-wee's Playhouse, or the Cafe 80s from Back to the Future 2. That look is the Memphis design. This style, the style that may best define the look of the 80s, appeared in everything from furniture to your bedspreads, school binders, and clothes. DesignMuseum.org shares that many thought that this was just a fad and would barely last, but the Memphis design went on to define the decade's aesthetic. The fashion trends of the 80s may have been more ingrained in pop culture than at any other point in history, thanks to the all-new music channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
When MTV launched in 1981, it became a defining part of pop culture, changed the way we consume music, and also became a big influence on 1980s fashion. With these new music videos, we got to constantly see our favorite artists and what they were wearing. Before MTV, you would have only seen Madonna on the odd TV appearance, in a magazine, or, if you were lucky, in person at a concert. But it could be months and months between each time you saw her. With MTV, artists had more opportunities than ever to appear before a rapidly growing audience, and they were able to present various looks and styles. With the release of a new album, we could see at least 3, 4, or maybe even 5 new music videos over the course of just 1 year. Example, for her album Like a Virgin, Madonna released music videos for the songs Like a Virgin, Material Girl, Angel, and Into the Groove, while also releasing videos for Gambler and Crazy for You from the Vision Quest movie soundtrack. That was 1985. The next year, she released 4 more music videos. With MTV reaching more and more homes, it gave us a direct line to these celebrities. Through the music videos, interviews, and performances, we got more chances to see what they were wearing, and it had a big influence on the fashion of the time. Speaking of MTV, comes the very first hip-hop group to have a video on the channel. During an era with so many distinct styles, another style was made famous by the trio from Hollis, Queens. As hip-hop continued to grow into the 80s, this trio helped take the genre to a bigger audience than ever before, a true worldwide audience. That trio, better known as Run-DMC, not only helped in the growth of hip-hop, but also created a distinctive style in the process. One of their signature looks included a tracksuit with white Adidas sneakers with no laces. You would also see Run-DMC in another of their distinctive looks, a black leather jacket, gold chains, and black hats. In an interview with GQ magazine, Daryl McDaniels, aka DMC, said this style was influenced by the rock bands of the 60s and 70s, like the Rolling Stones. They wanted to dress like Mick Jagger. The street fashion look, made popular by Run-DMC, became another 1980s-specific fashion style. The group's partnership with Adidas also helped change the way that big sports companies did brand deals, expanding beyond just athletes to now work with artists. Speaking of hip-hop, other artists like the Beastie Boys helped spread this New York street look, but put their own spin on it with ripped-up jeans, polo shirts, hooded sweatshirts, baseball hats worn on an angle, and of course, big gold chains. So that's pop culture, but what is happening in the world of high fashion during the 80s? Designer clothes and designer personalities drove a lot of the decade's fashion. Christian Lacroix, Versace, Jean-Paul Gaultier, Vivienne Westwood, and Karl Lagerfeld were some of those designer personalities. According to the Fashion Institute of Technology, 1983 was when Lagerfeld took over the struggling Chanel and within a year made it one of the most fashionable brands again. His goal was to go after a new youthful market while retaining the loyalty of Chanel's traditional customers. A tough balance to strike, but they were successful. For many of the high-end brands, bigger was better, and the bright colors were as embraced on the runways of Paris and Milan as they were in mall food courts. U.S. designers like Perry Ellis and Ralph Lauren introduced casual American styles influenced by Ivy Leagues and British aristocrats. The look featured blazers, hand-knit sweaters, and button-downs, which became associated with the preppy look, and a new era of Zac Morris's everywhere. And the world of high-end fashion leads into possibly its best representative, a young preschool assistant who would soon become one of the most famous people on Earth. Before she became Diana, Princess of Wales, Diana Spencer was considered a Sloane Ranger. The Fashion Institute of Technology defines this as the style worn by people who live near the affluent area of Sloane Square in London. This was considered the UK's answer to the American preppy look. But then, even before the royal wedding of 1981, Diana was already a star. When she became the Princess of Wales, her popularity skyrocketed, as did her influence on the world of fashion. Considered one of the most photographed human beings in history, Diana was a bona fide fashion icon. The curiosity over her wedding dress seemed almost as big as the wedding itself. As the 80s progressed, so did Diana's style. She adopted what was popular while still embracing classic regal looks. Diana also seemed to appear on the cover of more magazines than seemed possible. With all due respect to the famous people I've covered so far here, none of them could hold a candle to the power of Diana. Vanity Fair says that her fashion will never go out of style. And whether she was wearing an elegant midnight blue ball gown dancing with John Travolta or wearing simple activewear, Diana remains one of the greatest fashion icons of all time. As I was putting this episode together, I asked my mom for some old photo albums so I could flip through the 80s to see what I was wearing, and it wasn't pretty. Besides a mullet with three stripes shaved into the side of my head, I saw a lot of neon, pink high-top Converse, acid wash jeans, and jean shorts. My look was also completed with Fisher-Price Sunjammer sunglasses. Banana Santa Fur, jammer shaking the sun, jammer, look sharp in the park, jammer! Sunjammer! Time jammers for you! I probably was at an age much older than those sunglasses were intended for, but I thought they looked just like the ones that the Macho Man Randy Savage wore. Like I said, it wasn't pretty. And also, for some reason, I had talked my mother into renting me a white tuxedo with a mint green bow tie and cummerbund for my grade 8 graduation. And in my mind, I once again looked exactly like Don Johnson and not a dentist. But that's what I thought was cool at the time. And this was a decade where there were a lot of cool looks to choose from. And that's what made it such a unique decade, the variety. For kids in the 80s, it was also all about a variety of accessories. Jelly bracelets, jelly shoes, Converse high tops, scrunchies, slap bracelets, and patches all over your jacket. I don't know if your school was like mine, but a big accessory were safety pins with beads on them that you put on your shoes. And no outfit was complete without some sort of belt pack. It's easy to look back on ourselves from the 80s and cringe, but hey, that's all we knew at the time. It was an era of crimped hair, side ponytails, and glorious mullets. Ultimately, fashion is an extension of yourself and the way you choose to present yourself to the world. And if I had to sum up the fashion of the 80s in one word, that word would be bold. The 80s were a unique time in that there were so many ways to express yourself and a variety of what seemed like never-ending options. We all have our fashion disasters from growing up, but the 80s was a decade where you could kind of get away with it, as there was just so much variety and uniqueness all around us. So that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're looking for episodes connected to this one, here are some topics of my previous shows that I mentioned throughout. I have an episode on the history of MTV, a show all about Miami Vice, an episode devoted to the Memphis Group and the Memphis Design, one all about the fitness boom of the 1980s, and a show all about Run DMC. But besides those ones, there are plenty of other earlier episodes just waiting for you to listen to them. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Everything 80s podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on new episodes. If you're in a position to help support the show and want to check out some bonus 80s audio content like the Everything 80s movie review podcast, you can consider becoming a part of patreon.com. If you want to check all that out and learn more, just head on over to patreon.com/80s. That's patreon.com/80s, or click on the link in the description. So thank you again for listening and being here with me today. Whether this is your first episode or you've been here from the beginning, thank you so, so much. You are the Armani jacket to my sockless loafer. So I'm Jamie. This has been Everything 80s, but I'll be back soon with a new episode. Don't you dare miss it.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.